بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين ينادونك من وراء الحجرات أكثرهم لا يعقلون. ولو أنهم صبروا حتى تخرج إليهم لكان خيرا لهم والله غفور رحيم. صدق الله.
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، in our previous discussion we discussed there are two terms in the terminology of tafsir, commentary of the Quran Kareem, and in the terminology of hadith, commentary of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One is called shan-e nuzul and one is called shan-e wurud. If an incident took place at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala revealed an ayat of the Quran Kareem, that is called shan-e nuzul. If an incident took place at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned a hadith, that is called shan-e wurud. The shan-e nuzul of these two verses which we just recited now, the fourth verse and the fifth verse of Surah Hujurat, is the delegation from the tribe of Banu Tamim. They came to Madinatul Munawwara in the afternoon. At that time Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was resting. They came to the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and from outside they called for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come out of the house. The words they used, "Ukhruj ilayna ya Muhammad." O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, come out. So they were standing outside the house of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they called for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam from outside that, "Oh Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you come out." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, out of humbleness and humility, came out and met them. This character and conduct of the people of Banu Tamim displayed disrespect to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were people that lived in the villages and they did not know how to show adab, they did not show how to show respect. So Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala condemns their conduct and their character. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says that such people who show disrespect to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they do not know the high lofty maqam and position of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And instead of coming to the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and calling for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come out towards them, they should have rather waited. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have been rested. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have come out of his house and would have met them. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, "Innal ladina yunadunaka min wara'il hujurat." Verily, those people that call out to you from behind the apartments, most of them do not know. They do not know your high lofty maqam and the position. Or they do not know how to display adab and respect. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ إِلَيْهِمْ. If they would have been patient, they would have made sabr until you would have come out towards them, لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ. This would have been better for them. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is most forgiving and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is most merciful. From these verses, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala emphasizes to us the importance of showing respect to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we study the Quran Kareem and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if anyone showed any type of disrespect to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala immediately condemned it, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala closed the doors leading to that. It was a habit of some of the munafiqeen at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would come and meet up with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam personally and talk with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as though somebody is talking to him with secret, in secrecy. Sit close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the presence of all other people and talk to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very secretly. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to cooperate with them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not hurt the feeling of anyone, and he would let them do what they wanted. They would talk very secretly to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in this way they would create the impression that they enjoy a very close, spatial relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When this impression was created, then other people used to also do that, and this used to cause inconvenience to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala closed the door to that as well and says to us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نَاجِيْتُمُ الرَّسُولِ فَقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيْنَ جْوَاكُمْ صَدَقَةً. You want to enjoy a special relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you need to talk secretly with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then before doing that, give some sadaqah, give some charity. Then only you will have the privilege of having a special close relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The moment these words are revealed, now obviously the munafiqeen, they are not truthful people, they are not sincere people, and they just try to create an impression in the hearts of people that they are very close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They obviously have their ulterior motive, they have their own agenda. But now, when it came to emptying the pockets, that was a test of the challenge. So, immediately, they had to give sadaqah to talk to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this whole habit closed down, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was relieved from such kind of inconvenience. Sahaba, they displayed the highest amount of respect for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and their hearts were cultivated to show that kind of respect for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the sixth year after Hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba, they saw a dream that they are in the state of Ihram and making tawaf around the Baytullah Sharif. They were in Medina to Munawwara, and till then they had not gone to Makkah Mukarrama and did not make tawaf of the Baytullah Sharif. Because of this dream, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba felt that they should don the Ihram and they will proceed to Makkah Mukarrama and make tawaf of the Baytullah Sharif. Indeed, the dream of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is true. So they donned the Ihram and they went. But when they came to a place called Hudaybiyah, not far away from Makkah Mukarrama, they were unable to proceed to Makkah Mukarrama. The disbelievers of Makkah Mukarrama stopped Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba from proceeding. Then there were negotiations between Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba. And the disbelievers, for a couple of good days, that whether they should proceed to Makkah Mukarrama, what will be the term and condition, or they should revert and go back to Madinatul Munawwara. So Urwa ibn Mas'ud Saqafi, he was a representative of the disbeliever of Makkah Mukarrama. Very intelligent person, very broadly traveled person. He comes and starts negotiation with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but in the course of that, he was observing the conduct of the Sahaba with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that how they showed adab and how they showed respect to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes back to his people and he tells his people, Ya Qawm, wafattu ala al-muluk, wafattu ila Qaisar wa Kisra, in ra'aytu qattan malakan yu'azzimu ashabu ma ra'aytu ashabu Muhammadin Muhammada. He says that I've gone to so many kings around the world, I've gone to Caesar, the king of Rome. I've gone to Persia, the king, Kisra, the king of Persia. And I have seen how their colleagues display respect to their kings, but nobody showed that kind of adab and respect like how the Sahaba, they showed adab and respect to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he further explains, I also observed when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make wuzu, the remaining water of the wuzu of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba would want to go for that and take that water and place and put it onto the bodies. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would talk, they would put their heads down and they would display utmost amount of respect for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated from Makkah Mukarram and came to Madinah to Munawwara, he was in Quba for a few days and then he came to Madinah to Munawwara. Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had the opportunity to host Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his house. He had a house upstairs and downstairs. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was downstairs and Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu's family were living upstairs. He wakes up in the night, suddenly just wakes up and he thinks to himself that myself and my family upstairs and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam downstairs, he regarded this to be very other than disrespect to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He immediately wakes up. He didn't wake his family up. He himself wakes up and he goes and stands completely beside the wall that he should not show any further disrespect to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the morning, he then approaches Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he explained to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how he felt at night. So this was the adab and this was the respect that was in the heart of the Sahaba for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking and he came across Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam caught his hand and started walking with him. And then he came to a certain place and they sat in that place. Sahaba also sat with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu slowly he sneaked out of the gathering. He goes away. And after he returns, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, "You know, Abu Huraira, where have you gone?" He said, "The Prophet of Allah, you held my hand, I was sitting in your gathering, but I was in a state of janabat. I was in a state of major impurity. There was a need for me to take a bath. And for me to sit in your gathering in that condition was highly disrespectful. So I immediately sneaked off and took my ghusl and then I have come." This shows what type of heart the Sahaba had for Rasulullah, to show the adab for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just as it was compulsory to show adab to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is equally important to show adab to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All these incidents, they related to the Sahaba who were alive at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is still compulsory to show adab and respect to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When anyone is blessed to go to Madinah to Munawwara and they go by the river Mubarak, it is important for them to show that amount of adab and respect like how they would show to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is still alive in his qabr. This is mentioned in many ahadith. Once Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she heard somebody knocking a nail into the wall. Not far away from her house or from the Rose of Mubarak. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala sent a message to that person that he's knocking a nail in the wall, that noise that is coming out from there is causing inconvenience to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he wanted to make a door for his house. So he told the carpenter, "You make the door for my house away from this area, far away from the Rose Mubarak, and when the door is made, then you must just come and put it onto my house." Don't make it right here, because it's not far away from the Rose Mubarak. And when you go to Kaab or you go to do anything, the noise that will come out from there will cause taklif and inconvenience to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his lifetime, when he used to give khutbah, he used to sit on the third step of the minbar. Like how you have the minbar, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to sit on the third step. After the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu became the Khalifa. He used adab for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would not sit on the third step, he would sit on the second step. And his feet then would be on the third step. That's the adab he showed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu passed away, then Umar radiallahu anhu, he would then sit on the third step and his feet used to be on the ground. To show adab to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Now, Usman radiallahu anhu became the Khalifa. There are only three steps in the minbar, what is he going to do? You can't sit on the first, can't sit on the second, can't sit on the third, where is he going to sit? So in order to show adab to all of them, he extended the minbar and made more steps to a minbar, and he sat even more down. This was the great amount of adab they showed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they also showed to each other. Qazi Iyaz rahmatullahi alayhi, in one of his famous words, Ash-Shifa, he states that just as it is compulsory to show adab to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his lifetime, after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also compulsory to show adab to everything related to the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went anywhere, show respect to that place. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat anywhere, show respect to that place. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam touched anything, show adab and respect to that place. Show adab to Madinatul Munawwara as well. And then he further mentions an incident about Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi issued a decree in his lifetime against one person who said that the soil of Madina Munawwara is not good, the soil of Madina Munawwara is bad. So Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi issued a decree that the person must be given 30 lashes. So somebody approached Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi that why such a harsh punishment? So Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi says only 30 lashes, actually the person should be beheaded. And then he explained that there is a difference of opinion among the ulama whether Makkah Mukarramah is more virtuous than Madina Munawwara or Madina Munawwara is more virtuous than Makkah Mukarramah. Some ulama say Makkah Mukarramah is more virtuous because the Kaaba Sharif is there. Some ulama say Madina Munawwara is more virtuous because the Rauza Mubarak is there. Whatever the case may be, but everyone is unanimous that the sand that is and the area in which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is buried and the sand around the Rauza Mubarak, that area is the most virtuous place of Madina Munawwara, more virtuous than Makkah Mukarrama, more virtuous than the Kaaba Sharif, more virtuous than the Arsh and the Kursi. How high and how lofty is the sand and the area in which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is buried? What can we tell about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself? And then the person is saying that the sand of Madina Munawwara, which is attached to the sand of the Rauza Mubarak, that is bad. So how much of disrespect is that to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, whenever he used to walk in Madina to Munawwara, he used to walk very close to the walls of the buildings. Whenever he used to walk in the center of the road. So somebody asked him, then why do you do that? Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi says, how can I walk in the center of the road and place my feet in the same place where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed his feet? My feet on the feet on the footprints of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is total disrespect to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We understand from all these incidents that how important it is for us to show that adab, to show respect to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One person, he presented a pair of green shoes, beautiful green shoes, to Adam Maulana Qasim Nanotwi rahmatullahi alayhi. So Adam Maulana Qasim Nanotwi rahmatullahi alayhi, in order to fulfill the sunnah of accepting a gift, he accepted a gift. but he never wore those green shoes in his lifetime. Somebody inquired from him that, why don't you wear the shoes? So Allah Maulana Qasim Nanauti rahmatullah says, these are green shoes and they are the same color of the dome of my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The dome of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is green and the color of that must go on my feet. How can that happen? Somebody presented a pair of clothes from Madina to Munawwara to Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullah alayhi. Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullah alayhi, he took that pair of clothes and he kissed it, he hugged it, like how you're hugging a person. So when he was asked, he said that these clothes came from Madina to Munawwara. The person told him that these clothes are not manufactured in Madina Munawwara, they're manufactured elsewhere and they come to Madina Munawwara, they're imported, they're not from Madina Munawwara. He said, never mind, it's imported, but the air of the land of my Mahbub has touched this clothing and that's why I hug this clothing. It's the height of that adab and respect that's shown to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The most important thing to show adab to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, apart from the personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his lifetime, after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most important thing in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to show adab to the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to teach the ummah. He came to guide the ummah. He came to make tashreeh of the Quran Kareem. And it's important that we show adab through the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those mubarak words that came out from the mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi wa ustad Abdul Rahman ibn Mahdi rahmatullah alayhi. Before conducting lesson of hadith, if there were people around talking and talking loudly, he would tell them to keep quiet. And then he would explain that how is it possible to narrate the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when you people are talking? Then Allah ta'ala tells us in the Quran Kareem, Ya ayyuha allazeena amanu la tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawti an-nabi. That, oh you believe, don't raise your voice in front of the voice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being mentioned, it's as though Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking, the sahaba will keep quiet. Is it appropriate when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking, other people talk? So everybody should keep quiet. Sa'id ibn Musayyib rahmatullah alayhi was a great tabi'i. Once he got very, very sick and he was lying on his side. For a long time he was lying on his side. Suddenly one person came to him and asked him a question in hadith. He sat up, he bared the pain and he gave an answer to the hadith. Somebody asked him, then why do you do that? You're not well. Even when you are performing salat and you can't sit, you can lie down and you perform your salat, your salat. On condition you can't sit, you can lie down. And with this extreme excruciating pain, you are sitting up and giving answer to the hadith. He said it is a height of disrespect that I am reclining and lying down and I mentioned some hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, once he was conducting a dars of hadith, that to show the asmat of the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. While conducting the dars of hadith, his face was turning yellow and red. So after he finished the hadith, he told one of his students, and I think it is Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi. Let's just see what happened in the back. When we lifted up the garment, the qamis of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, there were 16 to 17 scorpion bites on the back of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi. While conducting the dars of hadith, now one can imagine a snake bite or a scorpion bite. A scorpion bite stings even more than a snake bite. And then one, 16 or 17 times. But he continued with the dars of hadith. When they asked him, then why did you do that? Why didn't you stop? So how can I be conducting dars of hadith and worried about my pain? How do I also asbat to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? With the habit of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, when people used to come, so the attendants by Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi used to ask the person that came, did you come to ask a masla, a fiqhi ruling, or you have come to acquire hadith? If you have a fiqhi ruling, the attendant would tell Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, then Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi immediately would come out and issue the fiqhi ruling and the decree. And Even was told Imam Malik Rahmatullah Al-Fatah come to acquire hadith, Imam Malik Rahmatullah will then tell him to take a ghusl, wear the best of clothing, he would apply oud, and then he would sit on the raised platform and narrate the hadith. Somebody asked him a mark of distinction between them two. In sit, you don't show that amount of respect as much as you show respect to narrating the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has mentioned that this is an opportunity for me to show azmat to the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the azmat to the personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Famous incident of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, every hadith in Bukhari Sharif, before narrating it, he would make ghusl, read two rakat salat, and then he would narrate the hadith, narrate the hadith in Bukhari Sharif. So this, to show adab to the hadith and the words that have come out from the Mubarak mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is also the right of the azmat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And apart from that, I will take advantage of this opportunity just to mention something very, very important, very, very briefly. One is that to show azmat to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but at the same time, to show azmat and greatness and adab to the ulama is also the right of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is mentioned in hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-ulama warathatul anbiya. The ulama, they are the heirs of the anbiya. Sahaba, they displayed adab and respect to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And because of that adab they showed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the azmat of deen was inside the hearts. Then the tabi'in showed azmat to the sahaba, and the azmat of deen was then in their hearts. And then it carried on to the tabi'i tabi'in right up till today. And in every time and every era, whoever showed azmat to the ulama of their time, the azmat of deen was in their hearts. And that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that just as he showed azmat and respect to the Nabi of Allah, he should also show azmat and respect to the representative and the deputy of the Nabi of Allah, who are the ulama. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to mention, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi quotes the hadith, Ulama of ummati ka anbiya ibani Israel. The ulama of my ummat, they are like the nabis of the Banu Israel. Like how in the Banu Israel anbiya came, Ishaq alayhi salam came, Ismail alayhi salam came, all these anbiya that came in the Banu Israel. In the ummat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no nabis to come. And after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are the ulama that look after and uphold the deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Just as the Nabi of Allah would uphold the deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, the ulama, they also uphold the deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So when you show azmat to a Nabi of Allah, you have to show that azmat in respect to the ulama. Although there is a question of the authenticity of this chain of good hadith and the chain of narrator of good hadith, but this is supported with another hadith that Abdullah ibn Abbas of Allah ta'ala, cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the son of Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. After the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would go to the house of the senior sahaba and acquire knowledge from them. He would go there, wait outside. When the senior sahaba would come out, he would see the cousin of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waiting outside. So they would tell to him that, why didn't you tell us? Or why didn't you knock at the door? We would have come out. So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu would tell to them that I have heard that an alim in the community is like a nabi in the community. So this shows that this actually supports the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He mentioned in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Man salla khalfa imamin taqiyin فَكَأَنَّمَا صَلَّى خَلْفَ نَبِيٍّ. Sahih al-Hidayah quotes the hadith. That person that performs salat behind an imam who's got taqwa in him, who's got piety in him, it's as though you perform salat behind a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. It is mentioned in one hadith, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala who says, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Kun aliman. Be an alim of deen. Or if you can't be an alim of deen, be a student of deen. If you can't be a student of deen, be a person who listens to the alim of deen. Or at least be the fourth, be a person who loves them. Who loves the ulama. But don't be the fifth. وَلَا تَبْغِذْ عِلْمَهُ وَأَهْلَهُ. Don't hate the ulama and don't hate the people of knowledge. Anybody who shows azmat to the ulama, that is like showing azmat to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and having azmat for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in the heart. Shaykh Shirazi rahmatullahi, he has mentioned that that person who showed adab and respect to the ulama, because of that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will create ulama in his progeny. And if not in his immediate progeny, in his children, then in his grandchildren Allah will create ulama among them, because he showed adab and he showed respect to the ulama. He also mentioned in one hadith, مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ. That person who has enmitied my wali, then I've announced a war with that person. Many of the ulama, they say that in this particular hadith, showing enmity with the wali of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala actually refers to the ulama. But if anybody shows enmity with the ulama, then that person actually goes into war with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. It is such a serious crime to have disrespect for the ulama. You should understand, ulama are human beings. They also have the weaknesses and shortcomings. Overlook the weaknesses, overlook the shortcomings. And if for some reason you cannot be, then don't show any kind of disrespect to them. You don't have to associate with somebody that you can't bear, you cannot tolerate. But don't show any kind of disrespect and don't cause any kind of taklif to the ulama. Whereas Quran is strong and you can't use the Quran, you don't want to show disrespect to the Quran. But respectfully you will keep it away because you cannot benefit from it. So if there is no munasabah with any particular person, don't show any kind of disrespect to a person, and don't say anything contrary to Sharia or anything disrespectful to a particular alim. Who knows that when Allah's azab will come upon such a person. He mentioned about so many incidents where people show disrespect to the ulama, cause taklif to the ulama, and how Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's azab came to them. And how in different ways and different forms those people suffer grief, suffer difficulty, suffer hardship because of them showing disrespect to the ulama. So the least one could do is have love for the ulama and show utmost adab, show utmost respect to them, and in that way the azmat of deen will be alive in the heart of a person. And that is actually the right of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also in the same way, all the madrasas, darul ulums, where the Quran is being taught, hadiths are being taught, that also showing respect to these places is like showing respect to Allah and showing respect to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the word of Allah and the word of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are being taught in these places. We may dua Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tawfiq and hidayat to inculcate and cultivate in our hearts the azmat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and anything that is related to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala put the azmat of that in our hearts. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.